Okay, so Orgadaliyahu Os Hay. You're able to see it on the screen. B'Mitzrayim. Okay, good. B'Mitzrayim Hayu B'nei Yisrael Shekuim B'Memtes Sha'arei Tuma. So yesterday we learned about two different ways that we got out of Mitzrayim. Pesach and Mila. B'damayi Chayi. The Dam Pesach and the Dam Mila. Each representing a different form of attachment to Hashem. And the way that we knew that is we inferred it from the negative. In other words, there are two mitzvos that if you don't do them, so the penalty is karis. And the Rambam told us in the Perush HaMishnah that from the fact that there's such a severe disconnect from God by not doing these mitzvos, it must mean that if you do the mitzvos, you become very much attached to Hashem. And we explained that Pesach corresponds to Dibur. Speech is the thing that defines the soul of a human being, and therefore Pesach is attaching our soul to Hashem, and Bris Milah is attaching our body to Hashem. Okay, so somewhat as a continuation of that, we're going to talk more about Pesach and Milah today as conquering Avodah Zarah and conquering Gilui Arayos. So again, B'Mitzrayim Hayu B'nei Yisrael Shekuim B'Memtes Sha'arei Tuma. In Mitzrayim, the Jews were sunken to the 49th level of Tuma. Ki Mitzrayim hi Ervas Ha'aretz, because Mitzrayim is referred to as Ervas Ha'aretz, a place of immorality. U'milvad asher chatu gufa, sorry, timu gufam shel b'nei Yisrael, in addition to the fact that their bodies had become defiled, spiritually defiled in Mitzrayim, hayisham gam inyan shel znus ha'seichel. I don't think I've ever seen that term in a sefer before. Znus ha'seichel, it's a powerful term. It means a person who has committed an act of znus with their mind, with their intellect. Right? That my thinking has become so perverted that it could actually be called the form of arayos of the mind. It's interesting. The Torah says, Lo sasura achrei levavchem v'achrei nechem. And we know achrei levavchem v'achrei nechem, Chazal tell us, refers to minus, heretical thoughts, and znus, and immoral thoughts or immoral actions. So, lo sasur achrei levavchem, control your mind, control your thoughts, and achrei einechem, and control your eyes. So Chazal understand that to mean avodah zara thoughts and gilei arayos vision. But you see that there's a bridge between those two worlds. It's not uncommon that a person who wants to get involved again in sexually immoral activity will come up with all sorts of questions of emunah, right? Because when I can rationalize that there's no God in the world, it's easier for me to do whatever I want with my body. So says the Or Gedaliyahu, there was a znus ha-seichel, there was a perversion of the mind. Achet shel avodah zarah. V'neged shtei tumos ha'elu, niten lahem shtei mitzvos ha'elu, dam pesach u'dam mila. So as a means of fixing the arayos of Mitzrayim, and as a means of fixing the perverse mindset of Mitzrayim, we were given two mitzvos, Pesach and Mila. Pesach, we'll see, is going to help us conquer thoughts of Avodah Zarah. And Mila is going to help us to control our temptations, our desire for Arayos. Right? The Karban Pesach was literally their God being slaughtered. So it was the slaughtering of the Avodah Zarah. Inyan Karban Pesach, hu hisrachus mi Avodah Zarah. Karban Pesach is distancing ourselves from Avodah Zarah. Ukamosha mevi Rashi, like Rashi brings, explaining the pasuk or the words of Chazal. The pasuk says mishchu ukuchu lachem tzon. So Chazal understand that mishchu, again, Moshe says to Bnei Yisrael, you need to take a carbon pesach. Mishchu, draw it to yourself. Ukuchu, or purchase it. Chazal understand, and Rashi brings it on Chumash. Mishchu yedecha me'avodah zara. Mishchu doesn't just mean draw the Karban Pesach to you as an offering, but Mishchu means to withdraw. Withdraw from what? Mishchu yedecha mi'avodah zarah. Draw back your hands from idol worship, and then kechu lachem tzon shel mitzvah. Then you'll be able to take the tzon shel mitzvah. In other words, there's this dual movement of removing oneself from and moving oneself towards. I'm distancing myself from avodah zarah to be able to attach myself to Hashem. It's what we learned yesterday, right? If not doing this mitzvah causes kares, causes disconnect from God, So doing this mitzvah connects me to Hashem. But first I have to get rid of whatever's blocking me. So the Avodah Zarah is that blockage that prevents me from attaching myself to Hashem. So mishchu yadecha me'avodah zarah, draw back your hands from that involvement in Avodah Zarah, and then, right, once my hands are clean, so to speak, neki kapayim uvar levav, when my hands are freed from sin, then I'm able to grab onto the karban, a lashon of hiskarvus, of being close to Hashem. Shekarban Pesach hu is kashrus la'kadosh baruch hu v'yisrachus me'avodah zarah, because the karban Pesach is attaching myself to Hashem and removing myself from Avodah Zarah. V'chein matzinu shekol makom shehaya biur Avodah Zarah b'chlal Yisrael, haya asiyas hakarban Pesach ba'ofen yotzei min haklal. Interesting. You look through Jewish history and you'll find that whenever we uprooted Avodah Zarah, we attached ourselves more deeply to Karban Pesach. He gives the example of the Haftorah that we usually read on the second day of Pesach, which is the story in Malachim Beis of the righteous King Yoshio. The righteous King Yoshio made it his business to uproot a lot of Avodah Zarah throughout the land. And then, after he got rid of all the Avodah Zarah, look what he says, Vayitzav ha-melech es kol ha'am lemor. He commanded the people, Asu Pesach la'Hashem Elokeichem, kakasuv al sefer ha-bris hazeh. Right? He commands them, let's bring a Karban Pesach. Why should we bring a Karban Pesach? The pasuk says, "Ki lo naasa kapesach hazem yemei hashoftim, asher shoftu es Yisrael, v'chol yemei malchei Yisrael malchei Yehuda." It's been a long time, says Yoshiyahu, as he's creating this tshuva movement. He says it's been a long time since we brought the Karban Pesach. Again, that's part of the Haftorah for the second day of Pesach. So says Rav Gedalia Yeshur, what do you see? Whenever there's a biur of Avodah Zarah, whenever there's a removal, a destruction of Avodah Zarah, part and parcel of that is then using that as a springboard, not just to get rid of the negative, attach ourselves to the positive, to be able to bring a karban la'Hashem. She'acher shebir Yoshiyahu ha'melech es kol ha'lulim yu'etzel kol Yisrael, oz osa karban Pesach, shu'esrachus mi'avodah zarah, u'meyuchad karban Pesach she'yesh bo hiskarvus yaseira la'Hashem yisbarach, v'esrachus mi'avodah zarah. Right? So the Karban Pesach is maybe the ultimate expression of so to speak, leaping into Hashem's arms, of wanting to be karov mamish to Hashem. But it's specifically through the negation of Avodah Zarah that we're then able to be makari of ourselves to Hashem. So that's the dual movement of the Karban Pesach. Yes, Yehuda Koltem, what would you like to say?
I just wanted to point out that this is, that the Mishchu Yedechem,
yeah,
is just pattern of Sormera Basetov.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk a lot about that in about 5 minutes from now. But definitely, I'm glad you picked up on that, because that's definitely what I'm hinting to, and it's definitely what Chazal are hinting to. All right, we're going to get into the sugya a little bit of Sormera Basetov, but before we go there, let's go a bit deeper. Chaver, if I were to ask you, when you bring a karban, why do we bring a karban? Is a karban about getting away from Avodah Zarah practices? Or is a karban a way of getting close to Hashem? What do I mean by getting away from Avodah Zarah practices? You know that in the ancient pagan world, there were all sorts of offerings, all sorts of sacrifices that were brought. Amongst them, human sacrifice. People would offer their own children in Molech, a very perverse and strange sacrifice. Sometimes they used, as we'll talk about, Mila. Sometimes there was all types of sexual activity that was connected to idol worship. So the question is, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his Torah gave us the opportunity to do something called Karbanos, and that's what we're holding now, Sefer Vayikra. It's not by chance that we're entering into Sefer Vayikra as we approach Chodesh Nisan. The question is, did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us Karbanos as a way of saying, and this is a deep idea, as a way of saying, you're used to pagan idol worship, you could still bring offerings, just bring them to me. In other words, it's sort of a way to get out of the Avodah Zarah practices. Continue to bring the offerings, but let's just do it for Hashem instead of doing it for an idol. Or is a karban more of a lechatchila way to actually be close to Hashem? Have you hear the question? Is it a way of getting Avodah Zarah out of your system? Or is it actually a lechatchila way to be connected to the Borei Olam? Or is Hashem, on a certain level, just responding to secular society, to pagan culture? So the Rambam, the rationalist that he is, in his Mor Nevuchim writes, Yaduam Divrei HaRambam, the Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim in the third Chelek, where he explains many of the reasons, the rationale behind mitzvos, Ki inyan shel hakarbanos laharchik lev ha'adam me'avodah zara. Interesting, says the Rambam, and again, this may be jarring to us if you're not used to the Rambam's way of thinking, but the Rambam says that the Torah was written in a historical context, which means that God is sometimes responding to the trends of the time. I'll give you another example. The Rambam says, why is there an isser of shatnez, of linen and wool? I think we mentioned it one time. The Rambam says, because the non-Jewish priests had a practice of wearing garments of linen and wool. So as a way of getting us away from Avodah Zarah practices, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no linen and wool. So again, is Hashem writing the Torah just based on what the Goyim do, what the Umas HaOlam do? And the answer is, of course, it's not just based on that, but it's also based on that because these were human beings who lived in a particular time in world history. So the Rambam says, why did the Kadosh Baruch Hu give us karbanos as a way of weaning us off of Avodah Zarah? The problem with this approach, v'hikshu alav me'adam harishon shehikriv karban, but the Rambam is challenged. We find that Adam HaRishon, who had a very clear conception of Hashem, also brought a karban. V'lo hayusham inyan shel avodah zarah. And there was no avodah zarah in the time of Adam HaRishon. Now you could get fancy and say, well, the Nachash was avodah zarah. Okay. But you see that there's a concept of karbanos even before it's a response to the explosion of avodah zarah in the world. V'lachain, top of the next column, V'lachain, mefarish haramban, therefore the Ramban explains that avodah zarah is not about what we're getting away from. Karbanos is not about what we're getting away from. Karbanos is about what we're moving towards. Mefarish haramban, ki ha'inyan shel karbanos hu eskarvus la'Hashem yisbarach. Like the word itself sounds, a karban is about not what I'm running away from, but what I'm running towards, what I'm moving towards. It's about being close to Hashem. I was learning, my father summoned the Weinberg brothers to a Zohar session again yesterday. So the Zohar in this week's parasha talks about the fact that it's called a karban, and not just a karev, it's not just called in the singular, it's called in the plural. Karban implies multiple levels of kirva, many levels of closeness, and also the Zohar discusses the question, why is it called a karban lahashem? As opposed to sometimes by another term we use for karbanos, zvachim, it says zivchei elokim. And the Zohar explains that karban, dafka means karban lahashem. It's dafka, that name of yudkei vavkei, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu inviting us in. A karban, says the Ramban, is not about getting away from Avodah Zarah. It's not a better way to continue pagan practices, God forbid. Says the Ramban, a karban is about kirvas Hashem. It's about getting close to Hashem. So how do we understand this, so to speak, machlokas, Rambam and Ramban? Is it about, in the words of Yehuda Kolton, and preceded by David HaMelech, is it sur meira? Is it getting away from negativity? Or is it ase tov? Is it moving towards something positive? So says the Or Gedaliah, the explanation of the Rambam can be understood as followed. And there's really no machlokas. They're both true. Ki ein hamedubar kan me'avodah zarah mamish. When the Rambam says that the purpose of karbanos is to help us get away from avodah zarah, it's lav dafka, getting away from actual avodah zarah. Rather, maybe it means the following. Rak kishehirgish adam harishon hergish shel ani. What's the ultimate, the ultimate avodah zarah that we still suffer from, by the way? And if anyone was learning with me last night when we learned that piece from Rav Dessler, right, the crumbling of the world of Edom, the gaiva of Edom, the advancement and the technology and the so-called endless advancements of Edom that they take so much pride in, that the world takes so much pride in being so cultured and so modern and so advanced. There's a lot of gaiva in that. There's a lot of self-serving grandeur in that. And therefore, the ultimate avodah zarah is sort of what we just went through on Purim, which is Haman HaRasha making himself into an avodah zarah. It's the man-made avodah zarah. It's that sense of ani, which comes to get in the way of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. It gets in the way of what we learned yesterday, ani hu v'lo acher, that I, Hashem, took you out of Mitzrayim, and I don't need anyone's help. So therefore, when a person feels, and even Adam HaRishon got into this trap, right? Whether you understand the Nachash as being outside of Adam, or whether you understand the Nachash as being the inner voice, the Yetzer Hara within man. How did Adam eat from the tree? How did he reject Hashem, who was so clear to him? And the answer is gaiva. It was self-serving. I want to eat from that fruit. It looks good to me. I want to enjoy that fruit. Yeah, but God said no. Why should you listen to God? Maybe God just doesn't want you to become God. And therefore, perhaps, the Avodah Zarah that we conquer through Karbanos is getting ourselves out of the way to get close to Hashem. V'hirgish hischrachus mehabore olam shu davar nifrad. When I start to see myself as independent from God, that is the ultimate Avodah Zarah. So therefore, hikriv karban lekariv atzmo laHashem yisbarach. When Adam HaRishon saw himself far from Hashem, again, he wasn't dealing with Avodah Zarah of sticks and stones, but he was dealing with the Avodah Zarah of self, so he brought himself close to Hashem through bringing a karban. To be mavato hadnidnud shel hargashas ha'ani, that little shred of ani, with a capital I, that sometimes gets in the way of our relationship with Hashem. Kimasha margish ktsas ha'ani hu gamkin geder shel Avodah Zarah. Because when we start to become too self-serving, so that is Avodah Zarah. Like the Gemara says in Maseches Avodah Zarah, Shebe Maseches Avodah Zarah shall Avram Avinu haya dalid meos pirkei. If you remember, we looked at this Gemara once upon a time. Avodah Zarah daf yudalid amud bez. The Gemara says that Avram Avinu, his Maseches Avodah Zarah had 400 prakim. What does that mean? Shabir kol mine Avodah Zarah sheyesh ba'olam. It means that Avodah Zarah could be a lot of different things. There could be an Avodah Zarah of bowing down to an idol of wood or stone. But there's an Avodah Zarah, right? There's an Avodah Zarah of posting my breakfast on Facebook. That's also an Avodah Zarah. That I need everyone to know what I'm up to, as if anyone cares. As if anyone cares, you know, like live streaming your whole life. No one cares. No one's interested in that, right? It's a desperate cry, it's a Nebuch cry of wanting to be a god, of wanting to be someone who's supposed to always be in front of everyone else. Shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid, but we sometimes put ourselves out there without being able to retreat into our own Dalet Amos. And that's an Avodah Zarah. And that's an Avodah Zarah that's being destroyed in the world right now when we're spending a lot of time in solitude, trying to, in a healthy way, disconnect from that world around us. So any times we disconnect from Hashem and we start to feel too much of ourself and we become too self-absorbed, that is Avodah Zarah. When we times that hikrim adam rishon karban kishihirgish atzmo lidavar nifrad lekariv atzmo laHashem yisbarach. So when Adam HaRishon saw himself as an independent being, when that voice, that nachash inside of his head started to tell him, hey, Adam, you could also be God. You could also be self-sufficient. That's a scary voice. Adam needed to be makariv himself back to Hashem, and that's what a karban is. So therefore, says our Rebbe, Rav Gedalia Shor, the Rambam and the Ramban actually work hand in hand. And again, going back to the pasuk, we'll go deeper into it in a minute, but going back to the pasuk that Yehuda Kolton mentioned, Sor Meirav Aseh Tov, it's not two separate tracks. That through Sor Meira, one is able to Aseh Tov. That through removing myself, there's more room for Hashem. They go hand in hand. So therefore, the words of the Rambam are mechuvanim im divrei haRamban. They work along with the Ramban. The Rambam is telling us that a karban is about pushing something away. The Ramban is telling us that a karban is about bringing something close. Right? They're both true and they go hand in hand. Shekarban yesodo hiskarvas laHashem yisbach. Everyone agrees that the essence of a karban is really about getting close to Hashem. But to get there, I sometimes need to push something aside. Ulevato kol hergish alavodat zara visrachus meHashem yisbach. The karban pesach hu karban meyuchad. And karban pesach maybe is the greatest example of that. Because I'm taking the whole world of Mitzrayim, embodied by their God, and I'm slaughtering the whole thing as a means of choosing Hashem. Again, the opposite of kares, like we learned yesterday, is dveikus. Ukamosha amru, sha ochel karban pesach, ka ochel ataka de malka. A person who eats karban pesach is like one who is eating at the taka of the king. What's the taka? The taka means the table. Ataka de malka. You look at some of the Arizal's Zmiros for Shabbos. You'll recognize the word Tacha means the table. When you eat Karban Pesach, you're being invited to sit at Hashem's table. You're being invited back to Hashem's table. You know what I think this is hinting to? I just realized. The Gemara in Brachos says, where's my Gemara in Brachos? It's upstairs. The Gemara in Brachos says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu laments the fact that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and Hashem mourns the fact that he had to exile his children from his table. Right? The Gemara says, woe to a father who sent his children away from the table. Which is why the Pesach Seder is HaKadosh Baruch Hu inviting us back to his table. It's an opportunity to sit at the table with Hashem. By the way, it has fascinating ramifications in halacha. Because often, if a person's at a meal and you decide that you're done eating, and then you change your mind and you decide you want to continue eating, once you've removed the table, again, in ancient times, they used to sit at, they would, you know, recline on little sofas and they'd have these little tables which they would eat at. But once the table's been removed, that signals the end of the meal. So in halacha, there's a whole discussion. What happens if you forgot to eat afikomen and you're about to bench? Do you have to wash again and make a motzi to eat the afikomen? And part of the answer, al pi halacha, is that you don't. It's a Tosfos in Maseches Pesachim. And the reason that you don't, is because there's a rule that if you're part of someone else's meal, if the Baal HaBos has not concluded the meal, so then you're still connected to the Baal HaBos. And the meal is not over until the Baal HaBos tells you that the meal is over. So the same thing is true on Leil HaSeder. Who is the Baal HaBos? Who's the Baal HaBos at the Seder? It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu himself. I can't remember where Tosfos is. I have to look it up. But when until the Baal HaBos tells you the meal is over, the meal's not over. So your mom is, you're sitting at a Kadosh Baruch Hu's table on the night of the Seder. Where is it? Shulchan Aruch, Safun Baruch. Yeah, I can't find it at the moment. Maybe someone remembers where it is. But that's the var. We're sitting at Hashem's table on this night. All right, I'll have to find it later. But that's the var. That's what it means. The Taka de Malki. You're sitting at Hashem's table. Right, and that's an invitation. That again, the Gemara that I'm referencing, that Gemara in Brachos, says, woe to the father who has kicked his children off of his table. Right, there's nothing more beautiful than a family being able to sit together and enjoy a meal together. Right, think about, I hope you have good images of this. I hope your families have nice images of a Pesach Seder or a Shabbos meal, or even, I don't want to brag, but I feel that we've been very blessed in our home. During these days, Baruch Hashem, I like my family, and we've been zochet to have a lot of very nice family dinners. And we're usually zochet to that, some of the time, but to actually, to be able to sit and have lunch with my children is a very strange and unusual and rare occurrence, right? And it's very nice when a family is able to bond together and sit at the table together. So a karban, the karban Pesach, is an invitation to sit, so to speak, at the table with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But the way that I do that is simply by that avodah zarah of self, to make room for Hashem. Chaver, let's go weiter. Ksiv. The pasuk says in Shemot Beis, Dabru el b'nei Yisrael le'mor, be'esor lechodesh ha'yichu lehem ish selebeis avos selebayis. On the 10th month, in preparation of the Karban Pesach, Hashem says to prepare the Karban Pesach. U'kishemosha amar atziwar leklal Yisrael, ksiv mishchu u'kichu lechem tzon. Interesting. What's our Rebbe pointing out? The other Gedalia was saying that when Hashem told Moshe about the Karban Pesach, all he said was, Vayikhu, take it. Hashem focused on the Asei Tov. Just take the Karban Pesach. Take the Karban, the Kirvas Hashem. When Moshe presents it to Klal Yisrael, like we learned, there's a two-step process here. It's Mishchu Ukechu. It's Mishchu Yedechem Me'avodah Zarah, and only then Kechu Lechem Tzon Shal Mitzvah. The answer to this, as to why Moshe needed to kind of clarify from the perspective of Klal Yisrael, Hashem is focusing on what the Iker is. The Iker is being close to me. So Hashem says, take a carbon. I want to be close to you. But Moshe has to explain to Klal Yisrael, if you want to really be close to Hashem, you got to push something aside. So Moshe adds an element by saying, Mishchu ukechu. Mishchu avodah zarah. Remove your hands from avodah zarah. And then you could take the tzon shel mitzvah. Ki isa besvarim. B'shem HaZohar Kadosh, and now we're really getting to Yehuda's point. Shekol HaTorah Yesh B'Bechina Shal Shamor V'Zachor. You can call it Sur Meirav Ase Tov. You could call it Shamor V'Zachor. You can call it defense and offense. I was playing soccer with Yaakov in the backyard yesterday, and I kept saying defense. And Yaakov looks at me at one point, he's like, Daddy, what's defense? I was like, oh, defense is like when you're trying to like block the other guy. You know, he wasn't familiar with the terms. Yeah, so we have Shamar and we have Zachar. We play defense and we play offense. There's times to be guarded and there's times to proactively try to do. Shamar hu inyan ha-shlili sheva mitzvah saseh. Shamar is the shlili, the negative aspect of a mitzvah saseh. In other words, the things that I'm trying to block out in order to create that space. V'zachar hu inyan ha-chiyuvi sheyesh ba mitzvah. But zachar is the thing that I go after, the positive, proactive thing that I move towards. And therefore, by the Dibros Rishonos, ksiv rak zachar, interesting. This is part of a much bigger mahalach that the Or Gedaliah has in several very lengthy essays. He has one by Yom Kippur and one by Shavuos, maybe in Parshas Yisro also. First Luchos, second Luchos. What does it say in the first Luchos? Jared, what does it say? It says Zachor. Why does it say Zachor? Because Hashem wants, the goal is Zachor. The goal is the positive connection. Of course, after we messed up with Chet HaEgel, and we needed to kind of reset the whole relationship, so by the second Luchos, it's Shamor. You got to play defense also. If you're just going to go on offense, if you're just going to focus on positive commandments, and we do this, by the way, sometimes. We love mitzvah saseh, you know? Mitzvah saseh or geshmak. Take a lulav, you know, blow a shofar. You know, the things that we get to, the experiential stuff that we get to do is a lot of fun, right? But what about being guarded? What about holding back? What about biting my tongue not to speak the Lashon Hara? Right? What about looking away from the thing that I shouldn't see? What about restraining myself from the things that I want but I'm not allowed to have? Shamor can be very difficult. But again, they have to go side by side. Right? Zachar v'shamor b'dibor echad. They go hand in hand. So Hashem Yisbarach said, Zachar, uvahamaymer shel zachar nichlal mamela shamor. If you know how to listen deeply, obviously when God says, I want to be close to you, if I say I love my wife, a positive expression of my feelings towards her, if I'm a real husband, so contained within that expression of positive love is obviously a whole checklist of things I would never do to violate that, right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Hashem said Zachar, of course it's built on a Shamor. It's Chaval that we needed to learn it more explicitly after Chet HaEgel, because apparently we didn't get it the first time. When Hashem said Zachor, Memela, included within that was Shamor. Sheyishmor atzmo leval yechal kedushas haShabbos. Obviously, if I want to have a positive Shabbos experience, I can't violate Shabbos. That's a given. But we didn't get it. And therefore, by the Dibros Achronos, by the second Luchos, it says Shamor. Shezeh shmira shelo yaseh dvarim hamachalim kedushas haShabbos. We needed to learn more clearly and more explicitly, hey guys, if you want to have Shabbos, it's great that you want to have a bowl of chulin, and it's great that you enjoy a piece of kishka or kugel, and maybe you even like to sing a few zmiros, but you also have to not be on your phone, and you have to also not violate Shabbos, right? In Memela, if you want to have a real zachar, there can't be a violation of Shamor. And therefore, kisha amar kadosh baruch hu lemoshe sheyichu karban pesach. So when Hashem introduced Karban Pesach, Hashem didn't have to. Hashem doesn't have to speak in such an unrefined way, reminding us to remove ourselves from Avodah Zarah. We're supposed to get that. He doesn't have to say it explicitly. Hashem doesn't say Mishchu. Right? Mishchu is the Shamor aspect of the mitzvah. Hashem only has to say, V'yikhu lehem ish sel lebeis avos. Take a Karban Pesach. Be close to me. Of course, if you're close to me, you're not going to violate our relationship. But Moshe Rabbeinu, who understands where Klal Yisrael is actually holding, Moshe has to speak a little bit more openly. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says what? Mishchu ukechu. Shamor and then Zachor. Sur Meira, get away from negativity, and then ase tov, and then engage in positivity. Va'oz kechulachem son shal mitzvah, yecholem heim leskarev la'ashem yizbarach al yedei karvan pesach. Now, this duality of going away from and going towards, which we learnt by karbanos, and in particular by karban pesach, is also true by the other mitzvah that we got on the way out of Mitzrayim, bris milah. Let's pause here for a second, and let's talk about bris milah before we see his words, because it's very, very bekitzer. He doesn't give us the whole picture. When a person performs the mitzvah of bris milah, so most people are not their own, you know, don't know how to perform a milah. So when my son was blessed to receive a bris milah, and when my father gave me a bris milah, right, my father didn't actually perform the milah, and I didn't perform Yaakov Yedidya's bris milah. There was a moel, and then there's a father. The father appoints the moel to be able to serve on his behalf to perform the bris milah. How many brachos do we make by a bris? Who's been to a bris? How many brachos do we make? What bracha does the moel make? The bracha of the moel is Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvoyis v'tzivanu al hamilah. And then the father, right? Then the father recites the second bracha, the next bracha. Asher Kiddush. The father's usually very nervous. He says the bracha very quickly in a shaky voice. He's a little bit emotional, which is beautiful. Yeah? And then, of course, the crowd cries out, what? Kishem shenichnas lebris, kein yichanes letorah ulechupa ulema'asim tovim. Okay, where is this source of this? It's a Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Lamed Zayin Amid Beis. The one who does the milah says the bracha of al hamilah. The father of the son says lachniso bebriso shel Avraham avinu. And those who are standing around say kishem shenichnas lebris, kein yichanes letorah ulechupa ulema'asim tovim. The question is, what exactly is the nature of these two brachos? Why are there two brachos? If you look in the Bach in Yoredeya, in Hilchos Mila and Simen Reish Samach Hei, the Bach discusses, why are there these two mitzvos? Why is the moel making a bracha, and the father is making a bracha? And why does the audience need to respond and cry out, Kishem Shenech Lasabris, Kein Yichanes HaTorah, Ulechupa, Ulema'asim Tov? So there's an essay that I have open in front of me from the old school editions of the Shvile Pinchas. This is from the year Tufshin Ayin, from the year 2010. And Rav Pinchas Friedman Shlita, in an amazing essay that he wrote in honor of a grandson's bris, I believe, he says, Sur Meira Va'aseh Tov is the answer. Sur Meira Va'aseh Tov is the answer, as it often is. Shamor V'zachor. Mishchu ukechu. Again, we see all these different models of this duality of getting away from something negative and then moving towards something positive. He happens to contextualize this in the context of Elul and Tishrei. Interesting, no? What are we doing in Chodesh Elul? What is the tshuva of Chodesh Elul? It's a lot of backwards fixing, right? It's a lot of undoing the mistakes of the past. It's a lot of shamor. What is Tishrei? Tishrei is referred to in Chazal as Yerach HaEtanim, a strong month. It's a month of Aseh Tov. It's a month of doing and doing and doing and doing. Right? It's an opportunity to do shofar, and it's an opportunity to take on extra hanhagos, like we learned about Pas Yisrael. It's an opportunity to have the mitzvah of sukkah, an opportunity to have the mitzvah on a daily basis of lulav and esrog. Right? All of the hallels that we recite. The month of Tishrei is a very busy month of doing mitzvos. So Elul is, so to speak, Sur Meira, and Tishrei is Asei Tov. Chevra, what is the order of the Masechtos in Seder Nashim? What is the last Masechta in Seder Nashim? Who knows? Yeah, Jeremy. Mr. Mishnah, let's hear. I can't hear you yet.
Kiddushin.
Kiddushin is last in Seder Nashim? What comes right before Kiddushin, Jeremy?
Gittin.
Any questions on that? Why is Gittin before Kiddushin? Why is Gittin before Kiddushin? That's a pretty sad matzav if you're thinking about getting divorced before you even finish getting married. That would be a pretty shver matzav. I don't recommend getting married under those terms. Right? So why is Gittin before Kiddushin? So if you look in the Sidur Shel Shabbos from Rav Chaim Chernovitzer, he brings one of the tzaddikim of his generation. He says, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Kiddushin that anyone who's not an expert in Gittin and Kedushin should not serve as a Masadar Kedushin. Right? Again, why does the Gemara put Gittin before Kedushin? Anyone who's not an expert in Gittin before Kedushin shouldn't get involved in it. So the way that Rav Chaim Chernovitzer, the Siddurish Shabbos, explains, Bipnimius, is that you have to know that there's a Gittin that comes before a Kedushin. I can't marry Hashem until I divorce myself from some of my other taivas. There has to be a sur meirah before there could be an asei tov. There has to be a willingness to put down my avodah zarah before I come into that realm of asei tov. And in fact, if you look in the writings of the Arizal, that's even quoted in the Be'er Heitav on Shulchan Aruch, it says that if a person is involved in asei tov without getting rid of their you know, their negative substances in their life, so then you're just feeding the sitra achra. You have to put down the sheretz, so to speak, before you're tovel in the mikvah. You have to put down that source of tumah before you enter into the world of kedusha. So, chaver, with this, we can understand perhaps why there are two brachos on bris milah, and then we're going to wrap up our piece of Or Gedaliah. Why are there two brachos on bris milah? Because the same machlokas that exists, that we just saw, that we just learned between the Rambam and the Ramban, with regard to karbanos, is a karban about getting away from something. Jamie, I'd love to see your face. Reuven, I'd love to see your face too. The same way that there's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban about what? About is karbanos about getting away from avodah zarah, or is it about moving towards Hashem? So too. Hey, Boker Tov. It's okay. If you're still davening shachars, I don't mind. You can still show your face. You know? We sometimes, you wouldn't be the first guy I ever saw in tefillin and shir. So, Chava, is it about getting away from something or is it about going towards something? Yeah? So the Rambam told us it's about uprooting pagan practices. The Ramban said, what are you talking about? A carbon's about getting close to Hashem. Chava, what is a bris milah? The Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim that a bris milah is about suppressing the body. By removing the arla, it will make a sexual act less pleasurable. That's what the Rambam writes. By removing the arla, it weakens the aver of the bris milah, and it takes away some of that sexual desire. It's about getting away from the taiva, the negative taiva of arayos. What does the Ramban, Nachmanides, say? The Ramban writes, no way. The Ramban says, a bris milah is about what? Is about forging a relationship with Hashem. It's a bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's about the Aseh Tov aspect of the bris, of the covenant that's being formed. Of course, Chavir, the answer is both. And that's why the Moel says a bracha of Al Hamila as he removes the Arla. But the father of the child cries out right afterwards, this is not just about what we're running away from. We're not teaching our 8-day-old baby that there's going to be sexual temptation in this world. That would be a terrible lesson to teach an 8-day-old child. What we're telling the child is, because you were telling the child, you have entered into briso shel Avram Avinu, lachniso bebriso shel Avram Avinu. It's much more than that. There's an aseh tov aspect here. And then the crowd cries out, kishem shenichlas lebris, kein yichones letorah, ulechopa, ulemaasim tovim. Make sure you understand the aseh tov aspect of what is being offered to you through a bris milah. This is part of what Rav Pinchas Friedman develops in that beautiful essay from the year Tufshin Ayin. So, Chaver, let's wrap up the piece now. And now we can understand what the Or Gedaliah, again, with all of that introduction, you'll understand his words. He knew all of what I just shared with you, and he hints to it here, but he goes deeper into it. The Karvan Pesach, we explained, is his Karvis ba b'derach dilog. One of the amazing things about Karvan Pesach, the Seder of the Seder, is that it's not Seder, it's not in its normal order, that on the night of Pesach, we're able to jump ahead. Kadesh comes before Orchatz. Kedusha comes before Tara. Right? Positive comes before negative. There's some type of reversal, an ability to jump ahead. As Rashi explains, Pesach is a lashon of dilug, of leaping. Sheklal Yisrael hayu az shekuim mememtes shari tuma. And instead of focusing on getting out of the dirt, Klal Yisrael immediately just joined Hashem at his table. Val yidei karban pesach zochu lios yoishvim va'oichlem ataka demalka. They were very quickly invited to sit at the king's table. And chavra, that's either the greatest chus or the greatest punishment. Obviously, we just learned on Purim how when Haman was covered, it was filthy, it was dirty, he just had a chamber pot dumped on his head. And immediately, Vayavhilu Lahavias Haman, they brought him to the king's table. He's sitting at Achashverosh's table. That was his downfall. But for a Yid coming out of the Memtes Shari Tum of Mitzrayim and being invited to sit at Hashem's table, it's not a negative at all. It's kulo positive. It's a tremendous jump. We leaped from level 49 to being roy to sit at Hashem's table. V'chein mitzas mila hu iskarvis b'derach dilug. And while a mila we just learned has the dual aspect of sur meirava ase tov, we have two brachos. By the way, there's also two parts to mila. There's mila and then there's priya. Mila is cutting away the arla. We remove a piece of skin and we get rid of it. But then the mo'o peels back the skin. And in doing so, right, the mo'o cries out, we have now uncovered the atara. The atara means the crown, the top of the bris mila, of the aver mila. Right? That's the positive. That's, so to speak, the crowning of the king. That's the positive aspect of bris mila. It's not just we're saying to an eight-day-old kid, don't be a pervert. Don't give in to your sexual desires. Be a person who has a little self-control. Be a person who has Shmir HaSeinayim and Shmir HaSabris. It's much more of a message than that. That's the basic message. But we're saying this is an opportunity through the Mila, through the bond of a relationship with Hashem. Leap, so too Bris Mila is a leap. What is the leap of the Bris Mila? With this we conclude. Sheminase esa odam ba'ofen pela. You have to understand that a Bris Mila is one of the most chashiv things in the world. And if we were to truly be worthy of Bris Mila, we would have to prepare an entire lifetime. Avram Avinu had to wait a long time, had to wait 99 years to get a Bris Mila. He discovered Hashem maybe when he was 3 years old. Hashem says, Avram, you're going to earn your Bris Mila. But we don't earn our Bris Mila. We get it handed to us for free, 8 days old, mamish. The Mesiras Nefesh of Avram Avinu makes it easy for us to get a Bris Mila. As Chazal explained, Sason Zu Mila. Chever, what is Sason? Sha'alea Amar David, Sas Anochi Alim Rosecha Kamotze Shalal Rav. You know what Kamotze Shalal Rav means? Kamotze Shalal Rav means you're driving on the highway and you look up at a billboard, you know, and it says Mega Millions, 173 million. And you say, you know, maybe me. You pull off into a gas station, you buy a lottery ticket, and all of a sudden you win $173 million, right? Sas Anochi, the joy of that sudden windfall. Kimotze Shalal Rav, like a person who's given a gift that is way bigger than anything they ever could have imagined. You know, we're not talking about a present that's appropriate for the situation. We're talking about something that's way, way, way above what is normal and what would be expected. Mila is a Shalal Rav. Mila is a gift that's given to a person. Shabal Adam Babas Achas. It's so many madrigos of holiness that is given, that is granted to this little baby, to this eight-day-old child. Ki mitzvas mila hu matana gedola mishamayim. Because through that removal of the arla and the uncovering of the atara, magbias haguf yisrael lidvekus b'Hashem yisbarach. You have now become a different type of human being. Your body has been radically changed. You're now able to have a relationship, an intimate and bond, a relationship of intimacy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like the Ishbitzer Rebbe explained, Masha Amru Chazal on the Pasuk in Tehillim. The Pasuk says in Tehillim Kuf Hei, Davar Tziva Le'elef Dor. Davar Tziva, his word has been commanded for 1,000 generations. You know what the Gemara says? You know what Chazal say? Zo Mila. This is a reference to Bris Mila. What does Mila have to do with 1,000 generations? Explains the Ishbitzer. It should take 1,000 generations of Avodas Hashem to prepare yourself to receive a Bris Mila. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to us as a gift, as a Shalal Rav, as babies. Hashem gives us such a gift. And therefore, we get it way in advance of earning it. One of the things that we associate with Chodesh Nisan, it's in the piyut, it's in the yotzros for Nisan. We say it's a chodesh asher yeshuos bo makifos. It's a month where the yeshuos are makif. Makif literally means we're surrounded by nisim, we're surrounded by miracles. But makif also, the svarif also is a lashon of giving someone a loan. That, like it says in Pirkei Avos, hachenvani makif, Right? The storekeeper gives on his ledger. He gives out loans. You don't have to pay your bill up front. He writes down what you took, and you just take from the store, and at the end of the month, he sends you a bill. So Chodesh Nisan is a month where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us something in advance of us earning it. We haven't really earned it. V'chol Adam Yisrael Nichlas V'bris Zeh V'derech Dilug. But Hashem helps us to jump many layers, many levels, before we've even earned those levels. V'lechei Nitnu Oz L'Kal Yisrael Beis Mitzvos Ha'elu. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us these two mitzvos. Two mitzvos that represent a duality of Shamor and Zachar, of Sur Meirah and Ase Tov. Again, he's not giving you the Bris Mila part of that. That's why we learned that piece from the Shvili Pinchas. But he's focusing on the Dilug aspect. An opportunity, what? To jump ahead. That lift up a person, U'mashru b'nei Yisrael, mitumas Mitzrayim, to lift us above the Tumah Mitzrayim, the Karban Pesach, which takes us away from Avodah Zarah, the Mila, which takes us away from Taivas HaGuf, like the Rambam explained. But again, it always has to be hand in hand with what the Ramban explained. It's a move towards something. It's a move towards a relationship with Hashem. And again, that's what we need to figure out. Chevra, this removal from society is not just about what we're going away from. Right now we're playing a lot of defense. But it has to be rooted in a desire to somehow get back to going on offense in a new way. Right? It's not just about what we're running away from. It's not just about getting away from the Egyptians. It's about running towards Kabbalah Satorah. So that's what our Rebbe wants to teach us today. That's what Or Gedaliah has to share with us. So Halavai, again, we should hold on to these mitzvahs, Pesach and Mila. We don't have a Karban Pesach, but we have a Yom Tov Pesach. And Bris Mila, we got it on the eighth day, but we renew that covenant every single day. When we're guarded in the way that we use our Bris Mila, we think about what it means to be part of a Bris, a commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all about that dveikus that we're seeking with the Creator of the world.